Look, he said, it's just fate playing silly buggers with you, with me, with me. It's a complete coincidence.
What have you got against me, Dent?
Snarled the creature, advancing on him in a painful waddle. Nothing, insisted Arthur. Honestly, nothing. Agrajag fixed him with a beady stare.
Seems a strange way to relate to somebody you've got nothing against. Killing them all the time. Pretty curious piece of social interaction, I would call that. I'd also call it a lie.
But look, said Arthur, I'm very sorry. There's been a terrible misunderstanding. I've got to go. Have you got a clock? I'm meant to be helping save the universe. He backed away still further. Agrajag advanced still further.
At one point, he hissed, at one point I decided to give up. Yes, I would not come back. I would stay in the netherworld.
And what happened? Arthur indicated with random shakes of his head that he had no idea and didn't want to have one either. He found he had backed up against the cold, dark stone that had been carved by who knew what Herculean effort into a monstrous travesty of his bedroom slippers. He glanced up at his own horrendously parodied image towering above him. He was still puzzled as to what one of his hands was meant to be doing.
I got yanked involuntarily back into the physical world, pursued Agrajag, as a bunch of petunias. In, I might add, a bowl. This particular happy little lifetime started off with me in my bowl, unsupported, 300 miles above the surface of a particularly grim planet. Not a naturally tenable position for a bowl of petunias, you might think. And you'd be right. That life ended a very short while later, 300 miles lower. In, I might again add, the fresh wreckage of a whale. My spirit brother.
He leered at Arthur with renewed hatred.
On the way down, he snarled, I couldn't help noticing a flashy-looking white spaceship, and looking out of a port on this flashy-looking spaceship was a smug-looking Arthur Dent. Coincidence! Yes!
Yelped Arthur. He glanced up again and realised that the arm that had puzzled him was represented as wantonly calling into existence a bowl of doomed petunias. This was not a concept which leapt easily to the eye. I must go, insisted Arthur.
You may go, said Agrajag, after I have killed you.
No, that won't be any use, explained Arthur, beginning to climb up the hard stone incline of his carved slipper. Because I have to save the universe, you see. I have to find a silver bale. That's the point. Tricky thing to do dead.
Save the universe!
Spat Agrajag with contempt.
You should have thought of that before you started your vendetta against me. What about the time you were on Stavromula Beta and someone...
I've never been there, said Arthur.
Tried to assassinate you and you ducked. Who do you think the bullet bit? What do you say?
Never been there, repeated Arthur. What are you talking about? I have to go. Agrajag stopped in his tracks.
You must have been there. You were responsible for my death there, as everywhere else. An innocent bystander, he quivered.
I've never heard of the place, insisted Arthur. I've certainly never had anyone try to assassinate me, other than you. Perhaps I'd go there later, do you think? Agrajag blinked slowly in a kind of frozen logical horror.
You haven't been to Stavromula Beta yet, he whispered.
No, said Arthur. I don't know anything about the place. Certainly never been to it and don't have any plans to go.
Oh, you go there all right, muttered Agrajag in a broken voice. You go there all right. Oh, Zark,
he tottered and stared wildly about him at his huge cathedral of hate.
I've brought you here too soon.
He started to scream and bellow.
I've brought you here to Zarking soon.
Suddenly he rallied and turned a baleful, hating eye on Arthur.
I'm going to kill you anyway, he roared. Even if it's a logical impossibility, I'm gonna Zarking well try. I'm going to blow this whole mountain up, he screamed. Let's see you get out of this one, Dent!
He rushed in a painful, waddling hobble to what appeared to be a small, black, sacrificial altar. He was shouting so wildly now that he was really carving his face up badly. Arthur leapt down from his vantage place on the carving of his own foot and ran to try to restrain the three-quarters crazed creature. He leapt upon him and brought the strange monstrosity crashing down on top of the altar. Agrajag screamed again, thrashed wildly for a brief moment, and turned a wild eye on Arthur.
You know what you've done, he gurgled painfully. You've only gone and killed me again. I mean, what do you want from me? Blood?
He thrashed again in a brief apoplectic fit, quivered and collapsed, smacking a large red button on the altar as he did so. Arthur started with horror and fear, first at what he appeared to have done, and then at the loud sirens and bells that suddenly shattered the air to announce some clamouring emergency. He stared wildly around him. The only exit appeared to be the way he came in. He pelted towards it, throwing away the nasty fake leopard skin bag as he did so. He dashed randomly, haphazardly through the labyrinthine maze. He seemed to be pursued more and more fiercely by klaxons, sirens, flashing lights. Suddenly, he turned a corner and there was a light in front of him. It wasn't flashing. It was daylight.